Hey guys, welcome back to the Busby Babe podcast. I'm here with Matt, and we are recording from separate locations once again.
Is this the second time that I've been in South Carolina first, while you were? Is this the first?
Yeah, this is the first time you've been in South Carolina while I've been in Mississippi. So,
okay, well, so yeah, I moved. Kind of sucks because I'm away from my friends.
Yeah. Well,
Star Wars was cool.
I was gonna say, speaking of things sucking, Manchester United lost 2-0 to Watford.
Whoa, yesterday. Hey, whoa! All right, this is a conversation for later. But yeah, no, that man. Like, I just don't understand. I think part of it can be Ole, and I think part of it can be like the players. But I don't agree with anybody just saying it's all Ole, because I mean, Rashford's been on fire lately, and you could tell he just didn't have a great game.
And like the thing about this one is, so Watford are bottom of the league. Obviously, they've been the worst team.
They literally had not won a home game all year. They lost four and then drew five all season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's just so bad. This is their fourth manager, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah,
and the thing is that they didn't even try to do anything different. They, you know, we've seen this Watford team play for the past couple of years now, and they still try to do the same sort of things, you know, get Troy Deeney to muscle people in the box and get Gerard Deulofeu to try and be creative on the wing.
Yeah.
Their midfield isn't really anything special. I think Abdoulaye Doucouré is a pretty good player, but other than that, they don't have a whole lot of talent.
Pereira is okay, but he didn't even start, so I mean...
Yeah, and they just let us go at them for the first half, and we really couldn't get anything going. And we've seen this time and time again where, you know...
Well, we got some stuff going, we just weren't clinical. Like, dude, that game is... It's so strange. I feel like it's just the team got demoralized. Like, I know there was a clear chance Rash should have scored. And then the pass that Jesse did, you don't be cute with it. Pass it past the keeper and get the goal. Like...
Yeah.
You don't need to chip the keeper. And if he was, like, in his messy Lingard phase, like, I'm okay with this and we don't even care, right? But he wasn't. Like, you don't need to chip it past the keeper. Just pass him, man. Like, that is such an advantageous position. If you just put it opposite the keeper, that's a goal. Like, no question. And then Watford is demoralized rather than us. Because... this is against every small team we play. The more and more time that goes by and we don't score, we just give them more confidence. And from that,
especially when it's a team like this that's not only looking for confidence, but they're supposedly on the new manager bounce or whatever.
Yeah.
And Watford are just looking for any reason to, or looking for any sort of motivation or momentum at this point. And we really did give it to them. And I mean, I don't think that... Because we've had this happen with David De Gea in the past year a handful of times. And I don't mean to use that in a funny way, saying handful, because it's gone through his hands on more than one occasion. But
you know, he is... It's weird to say he's human, because at this point last year, we're just like, he's a god! Oh my god, he can't do anything wrong! No, but, I mean... That happens every once in a while. You know, like, I'm just so surprised that happened by De Gea, but am I mad at him for that? I mean, sure, like, a little bit. It's hard to be, because he's been so good.
Yeah.
So many times before.
But those are exactly the kind of saves that we've seen him make so many times. So yeah. Now that a few of them are slipping through his grasp, it is a little bit weird. But you can't really blame him a whole lot for it. You definitely can't blame him for the second goal giving away a penalty that quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
But that was really the sinker for us, because at that point it just seems like there's no coming back. But it seemed like there maybe was when Paul Pogba came back. He made his return after 2 or 3 months injured. And for 20 minutes, he was man of the match for Manchester United. You know, he was...
Easy peasy, dude.
Yeah. Like, creating easily. Chances looks so easy for him. And, yeah, he's carving up the worst team in the league at this point, but he's...
Like, that pass he had
being...
to Greenwood was insane. Like, you know, like, that's what we want from him, and that's awesome, but, like...
He sent a ball over the top that was with pinpoint accuracy at least twice in this in the, his 25 minutes on the pitch.
Yeah.
One of them to Greenwood definitely should have been scored, and it was another chip that, you know.
But I give Greenwood a pass on that. I'm not mad at the kid for missing that. He's still,
yeah,
like, learning. I mean, the kid's good. I mean, I saw this thing the other day.
It was years old.
I saw this meme the other day that said, Manchester United is the Robin Hood of the Premier League. We steal from the rich and give to the needy.
Yeah, steal points from the rich, give points to the poor.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm still with Ole. Like, I don't think a lot of people are so easily swayed. And maybe this is like the American sports fan in me, because we deal with bullshit coaches for an extended period of time and we still have to deal with them, so we're just like, all right, well, hey, this isn't that bad. But I mean, I know it's different being in the mindset over there, but I don't think changing the manager still fixes the problem. Like, we could sit here and pick out the players that Dan James has been overall pretty good this season. Aaron Wan-Bissaka has been phenomenal. But if you look at it this way, if we still had Jose, we may never use Mason Greenwood. You know, like, there's not people that understand the youth setup like Ole does. And he's brought in Twan Zebe, and Garner's got some good playing time. Brandon Williams looked like he's going to be a stud. Like, this is just a very out-of-depth team. And, again, changing the manager is not going to change the fact that this squad doesn't have any depth. Because we should be able to stylistically put in somebody else. May he, you know, play better elsewhere. But Ander Herrera, like, we could put into a scenario and he can do everything. You know, like, McTominay has a bad game. Luckily, we had Pogba to put in, but if we don't, we put in who, Pereira? Like, that's not going to help us, right? Like, we don't have anybody to switch up the style of play. And since bottom side teams don't go at us, we don't know how to just go at teams. Especially when they have, you know, 10 people in the box. Like, you know, we can't do anything. We just got to learn how to do that. Because we could play against on the big days, because Rashford's record against the top six is insane. Like, Ole's record against the top six is insane. And we're up for the big games. It's just finding that groove with beating Watford and literally anybody else that... I can't believe I had to say Watford. I brain farted for a second. But literally anybody that's that low on the table. We got to learn to go at those teams and just be clinical. And it just seemed like it was an off day.
Yeah, it was a very off day. But I think what you said, lack of depth, it's not just with the squad either. It's with, you know, people who can score goals in the starting 11. Because if it's not Tony and it's not Rashford, then who is it? You know, McTominay's stepped up a couple of times. Dan James scored three times early in the season, but really it's down to those guys, and they're not getting much help this season. And as good of a season as Marcus Rashford is having, it's being, you know, pulled down by how poor the rest of the squad has been around him this season.
And Mason Greenwood's still a kid.
Yeah.
You know, we need I think that even when Pogba's in the game, Pogba's not known for scoring goals. Like, don't get me wrong, he scored some really good ones. But be honest, we shouldn't have to count on him.
Yeah. Our chances of scoring a goal are much higher with him on the pitch than off of it, though.
Oh, yeah. But I want him facilitating. That's what I care about. But what we need is a link. I want to run, like I said this earlier, 4-3-3 is my favorite. I think ideally, like right now, if you've got the right players, which we don't, that is the most ideal thing for our position for United to play, like the kind of football that we want to play, or fans that want to see the team play, right? And that might be my opinion, but I think if we have Pogba linking, dude, Christian Eriksen does not want to be a Tottenham dude. We just need, like, a Christian Eriksen to be at the 10 to be able to facilitate the ball and have the, and that's why Matta came in, but Matta's past it, man. Like, I like the guy. I love the guy. He's a fantastic human being. He scored some great goals for us. You know, I'll remember the Juve goal is just a great goal. But, I mean, he's past it. We need someone that is a Christian Eriksen caliber player. I mean, or Jadon Sancho. Like, but I'm worried about getting these guys if we can't even show up against the lower sides. Like, they're not going to want to come here. They're not going to want to go to United if
yeah,
we're just
shit in the bed. Yeah, I think Christian Eriksen would have been here in August if he actually wanted to be here, because it seems like Tottenham have been trying to get rid of him. But the only
But Mourinho's manager now, so.
Yeah. That's true. But he may not give us any players unless we give them Nemanja Matic.
I was going to say, dude, Nemanja Matic for Christian Eriksen
and
is like, sounds like the dumbest thing ever, but is the most Jose thing I've ever heard. Like, like,
I mean,
like, that is such a Jose thing to do.
For Willian, so.
God, I hate that guy. He's so funny. I still make fun of him in all of his interviews, but that's the only reason I miss that guy. So we can make fun of him. Anyways,
so speaking of this midfield problem, we've talked a little bit about Christian Eriksen before, and I think anyone listening knows what he's capable of. But do you really think that with Pogba back, his best position wouldn't be at number 10? Or you think he would fit better into that pivot role that Fred's in right now?
Well, see, here's what's weird. If you put him at the 10, he is playing in a more advanced role, which I think it's weird because Pogba can be good in any of these positions. It's hard to say which one he's best at, but especially for us in a counter-attacking style, I think that Pogba is better at just, like, not a holding midfielder, but just a regular midfielder, so he can pick out those long passes to our quick counter-attack. Now, granted, we can't always do that, so maybe against the lesser sides we play him at the 10, and, like, top 6 we play him in, like, in the middle of the field. I don't know. I think we could switch it up. I think that's what needs to happen, because Pogba's too good to not play against, well, I don't know. I guess Watford. It feels weird. It feels weird to say all this, because, like, we should beat Watford, but obviously we didn't, so.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I was critical of Solskjaer about for his management of the match when I did the player ratings, is that he kept Lingard on way longer than he should have been. I think at halftime it was clear that Lingard was not going to do the things that you needed him to do at the center of the park or in behind Anthony Martial, because Martial had become isolated, and when Martial gets isolated, it's so easy for him to get lost and just not be a part of the game anymore. So when you have somebody who is as poor at passing as Lingard is at number 10, it just shuts down the rest of the offense. You know, Rashford seemed
isolated at times
too. Like,
this isn't England. Yeah. Like, Jesse can't just run about and, you know, just do
what
he wants. You know,
when he plays that role for England, it works out because the people who are in front of him are Harry Kane, who is used to playing hold up play, and Raheem Sterling, who is, you know, I mean, I know you don't view him as quality of player as maybe I do, but he is an involved player. You know, he'll come back and get the ball
in
midfield, and then Marcus Rashford on the left wing, obviously, and you know. Lingard and Rashford have chemistry, and Rashford's a hardworking winger.
Although that's not going to be the case in the next international break. Like, Dele Alli is definitely going to be in that role.
No,
like,
Jesse Lingard is not going to be part of this England squad for a long time, unless he really gets his shit together.
That's a really big if.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, right. Against Watford, we saw that Jesse Lingard is inept as a number 10. And our other options, like you said, are very limited. Juan Mata has passed it. Andres Pereira, who is giving the ball away at a similar rate to Jesse Lingard.
Yep.
I really think that the way that things are right now, Paul Pogba's best role is at that number 10. Because...
yeah, I gotta say, I agree.
His long ball is definitely one of his best weapons, but as the short passing game and trying to get things going quickly...
in one-touch football, he's by far the best option we have.
And we saw it with Anthony Martial's last 30 minutes of the match. He was so much more involved than he was the previous 60. because he finally had a reliable partner who could get him the ball and also work off of him. I think Pogba's shot on goal was worked through play with Anthony Martial, where Pogba kind of came in from the left-hand side. And it's just... this midfield is just so devoid of passing talent right now that you cannot afford to play Pogba in another position, I think.
Yeah, I agree. There's no options. I mean, hopefully we can do something in January. Yeah. We've never really done, like, significant business in January. So I don't know how... I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to go, but I really hope I'm wrong.
I will add, though, that I think my position on that is definitely aided by the fact that Fred has been playing better. Because otherwise, I would say Pogba has to play in the pivot role. Because defensive midfield is also devoid of talent right now.
Yeah, I mean... it's just so frustrating, man. Like, there's so many things we can talk about, but I wish it was just simple right now. I wish it was just, like... man, we're winning. It's cool. Like, it's great. At least if we were playing good football, like... It's not winning against Watford that really just bothers me. Like, if we were losing against the top six, it, like, makes sense. But it's the fact that we, like, seem to have potential at points and then just can't hold on to it for games against Watford. Like, that's what just blows my mind, is that we just... ugh! It's frustrating, man.
Because we know what this team is capable of. We know how good they can be.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it. We've seen it happen on multiple occasions.
It's just frustrating, dude. Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. But so if you think if we're going to do January business, first of all, do you think we're going to do January business? And if you do, who do you think that we could possibly get that's, like, realistic?
Realistic.
Okay, we could do realistic and then totally off the wall, your Lionel Messi... he comes in a January pick.
Yeah, I think even in Dreamland, Messi probably stays at Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, no, they're going to... no. He stays at Barcelona forever, yeah.
Could you imagine the riots in Catalonia if they sold Messi in a January transfer window to Manchester United?
Yeah. They'd probably burn down the stadium.
Yeah. So, realistic... I think Christian Eriksen could be a realistic purchase.
I don't think it's that crazy. Like,
he's out of contract.
I'm trying to convince myself that it's not, and then it's... yeah, and from what I understand, Jose doesn't really like him. From what
I
understand.
Yeah, and I think even before Jose came in, Eriksen was kind of decided on leaving. That being said, it doesn't seem like he wants to go to another Premier League club. So that would be... a potential roadblock in that.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I really want to say Jadon Sancho because it seems like
I think that's a summer deal. I think it's too big. Well, because to be honest, we would have been hearing about it if we were going to get Jadon Sancho in January, there would at least be some kind of rumors.
Yeah.
I feel like, but
I will say, though, it seems like Kai Havertz is also a real possibility. Bayer Leverkusen are not a club that has been doing super well, and he's a young player who's on the up. Bayern Munich already tried to buy him in August, but it seems like he kind of wants to go to the Premier League. Manchester City are also linked, so that is a pretty big roadblock there. But, I don't know, if Ed really wants to splash the cash, we could land someone. It's just...
yeah,
I think
it's
that's
just
the biggest
that
question.
If Ed wants to splash the cash.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I could see that. God, I can never say the kid's name.
Erling Haaland?
Yeah, I can never say his name. I don't... I don't really think that that's going to happen. That just seems like it's another deal that we talk about that just isn't going to happen. Dude, I would love to still, like, if we got Bruno Fernandes this January, imagine how this changes. Like,
you and Nathan are both stuck on Bruno Fernandes.
No, I just think that, I mean, I'm not super stuck on him. I just think that he's at not a super big club. It could work. He's good at just about everything. I mean, I like Bruno Fernandes. I think he's good. Do I think it'll happen? No, because we're not hearing about it right now. So, I mean, I don't know. It could just be a super secret deal. But also, I want something in the midfield, Colin. Like,
no, we absolutely need something in the midfield. I think signing Erling Haaland would be addressing a problem that is not the top of our priority list. Because he's a really good striker.
It is a high priority, but I don't think it's the highest. I think midfield is the highest priority. But does
Haaland play? Does Haaland start over Anthony Martial?
No.
So,
and he's gonna want playing time. So that's why I don't think it's gonna happen. But
if we bring in Kai Havertz, or we bring in Sergei Milinkovic-Savage, or we bring in Bruno Fernandes, do they start over Fred or McTominay? Absolutely.
Oh yeah. 5,000%. Dude, if we got Milinkovic-Savage, I was talking about it hardcore for a couple of years, and I'm still surprised that he's at Lazio, right?
Yeah, he's still at Lazio, which actually I think he would probably stay at Lazio now, because they're kind of hot in the title race with Inter and Juventus.
Yeah, and they
now
just won the
The Supercoppa.
Shit. What is it called?
Man, Ronaldo, the Supercoppa.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo was.
Did you see Ronaldo pissed about that silver medal?
Yeah. He immediately took it off. Yeah. That dude does not like losing.
I respect that. I don't either.
Yeah. I mean that's that drive that he has or whatever.
So obviously we're getting Cristiano Ronaldo. Did you hear that he said that he should have never left Real Madrid?
I did not hear that. But I think for tax purposes, it's probably a good idea.
Oh yeah, 5,000%. I mean, he could come to United. I mean, just saying.
No, I doubt that that's going to happen.
You know what, Colin? How many times in the summer transfer market are you like, we're going to trade Nemanja Matic for Lionel Messi? I'm just like, what, Colin?
I mean, look.
I think Ronaldo is more likely than Messi, although I think that they're not close at all. Like, neither of them are gonna happen, but I don't know.
But a guy can dream.
We can dream, man. We can dream. We've played a lot of FIFA Team Builder, so obviously we know everything that goes into the transfer market. But I don't really care, as long as we can get literally
Colin,
if you could go in the midfield and do a better job than any of these guys, dude, they should pay you anything you want. Like, I don't care who goes in. I just want somebody, man.
I think my prime playing days are probably behind me. But, you know, if they
Colin,
were
you just have to believe.
Oh, right. We forgot. That's how we beat PSG. We just believed really hard.
Yeah.
And got a handball in the 94th minute.
Yeah, it was literally just like, it was the perfect, like, soccer anime story, dude. That's all it was. You just gotta believe, and power of will, you know, gives you like 3,000 stat points. So, anyways.
Speaking of transfers, I think we're gonna close out this podcast talking about the Paul Pogba story of Mino Raiola coming out and saying that, in fact, Paul Pogba does want to stay at Manchester United, but as we've been talking about for the past few minutes, Manchester United desperately need to sign more talented players to play around Paul Pogba. Now, first, Matt, do you believe this? And second, do you think that we'll actually get the players to convince Paul Pogba to stay? Or at least sign a new contract?
Huh. It's really difficult because in past years, like, the whole reason Jose signed that last contract was because he believed he was getting players. So we'll see if that's... And apparently they're going to support all of Ole's... They're going to match his ambitions. So we'll see. It's really hard to say. If it happens, awesome. am I going to say that's going to happen? Hell no, because it hasn't happened in the past. But to be honest, I think Paul Pogba just cares about... It's hard to say that he cares about money. I mean, they're footballers. Of course they care about money.
Well, I think it is... It's pretty fair to say that Mino Raiola cares about the money because his number one job is literally making sure that his players are paid what he thinks is fair.
Yeah.
And I don't think that money is a problem for Manchester United. I think that even...
But I don't think Mino Raiola would just say that without Pogba's permission.
No, probably.
You know what I mean? Like, he's full of shit, but I don't think that he would just say that. Like, they're definitely going to try to get money out of United, but you know what? You pay him that damn money. Like,
yeah,
I don't care. You pay him the money, dude. Like,
I don't think that he would just say these things, you know, just for the contract negotiations that are going on right now. Because it's a very obvious time for things to be coming out about Paul Pogba with the story that he was maybe sick and didn't want to play against Colchester. But also, I don't know if I would want to risk injury coming back against Colchester either, you know?
Yeah.
Come back in the Premier League. But when he came back against Watford, he looked fully healthy. He didn't play a full 90, so I don't know what his stamina level is at right now. But he seems like he's back on top, you know?
This thing racks my brain, man. I've been thinking about it. I read that from Mino, and I don't know whether to believe him or not, because I still keep that thing that Sir Alex Ferguson said about him. It's just in my brain, and I just can't fully believe anything that Mino says. I want to believe him. I want to believe that Paul is going to stay. And I mean, I imagine if they pay him a shit ton of money that he's going to stay, because he, even if he's not playing the best, like if he's not playing at the very, very top, if he's getting money, he's going to be okay with that for at least a little while. And
yeah, but I think we're in the at least a little while period right now, is what I'm, that's how I see this.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. That's why I was segueing into, I think that depending on what players we get, like if we can get a Jadon Sancho, like if we can get a big player of some kind that's like a Christian Eriksen maybe, I think that he maybe stays. If he doesn't feel like he's carrying the entire load of that midfield, then I think that he's going to be willing to stay. Because Manchester United... Because, look, like, we turn out some results. We turn the season around. And, you know, everybody talks about how we're back. You know, like, anytime we go on a run of games, they talk about how we're back. So, I mean...
Yep.
Granted, like, I don't necessarily like that because I don't like taking things for granted. But I care about Paul Pogba staying because him leaving, and this is the same conversation we've had every single time they talk about him leaving, is that we are not as good a team without Paul Pogba. Like, granted, I think that we've been lucky to get through this run of games with as many points as we've had. And that's sad because literally Jose got more points at this point in time than Ole did, and we wanted to sack him.
Yeah.
So, it's strange to say that, but... I mean,
but I think
we just start all over if we lose him, man. Like, plain and simple, we just start so far over if we lose him.
Yeah. And, like, even if we bring in Pochettino, that's such a... I think that's a pretty big if, because Pochettino probably realizes that Barcelona is a potential job opening in a few months. Real Madrid could be as well. So, but it's worth saying with Solskjaer that even playing as we are as a team that plays to the level of the occasion or their opponent, we're still in the Carabao Cup semifinal. We're playing against Manchester City, a team we know we can beat. When we come back into the Europa League, we're playing Club Bruges, and we've got a pretty decent shot at, you know, winning that competition or at least going to the semifinals or something like that. You know, we have pathways to trophies are in front of us. Or and mm-hmm. a pathway into the Champions League is available because, I mean, the rest of the Premier League's playing like shit right now. After, you know, everyone beyond Liverpool, Leicester, and City are playing like shit right now.
Yeah.
The season's not over. It's just, you can't drop points against Watford.
Yeah.
That gives pretty significant ammunition to the Ollie Out Club, because this is not the first time that this has happened. But, like you said, we'd be starting over mid-season again. Maybe Pochettino comes in, maybe we get the new bounce when we finish the season well. But is
that
really...
There's just so many maybes, dude. It's just so many damn maybes, and I'm tired of that. Like, I'd rather have Ole in and struggle a little bit, because, like...
And it seems like the players are all behind him, because even Paul Pogba is not saying anything he's not acting the way that he was last year. You know?
And you know he would. You know that man would say some shit if he felt that way.
Or that
nothing
Rayola
stopped him
would,
before.
Because that's what was happening last year, is, you know, when Mourinho was still around at the start of the 18-19 season, and there were all those rumors that Pogba wanted out, and Rayola was getting into fights with Paul Scholes on Twitter. That there is just so much toxicity coming from
the dressing room, which is awesome to talk about, but it is not there
right now. You know, there is so much clearly wrong behind the scenes that something had to change, and I don't get the sense that that's happening at United right now.
Yeah, I agree. So I hope Pogba stays. The biggest if is, are we going to sign players? And that's the same thing we're talking about. We've been talking about for how long now?
Since this podcast started.
No, we've been talking about signing players, and if we're gonna sign players for years. And
yeah, that's what I meant. I mean,
I thought you meant like this episode. I was like, no, Colin, we've been talking about it longer. Like what? No, but yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's. It all comes down to it, man. Does Ed Woodward want to get off of his ass? Does he want to be a shitbag again?
That's a Fergie time question that only one person can answer. Malcolm Glazer. Or Ed Woodward. Okay, like two or three
people. I hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. God, I'm sorry. I hate him so much. Anyways, right, I'm not going to go off on
question.
A rant again.
Does Jameis Winston get a contract extension?
Hell no, dude. That dude threw 4 picks in the last game. That dude is trash. He's going to be a backup at, like, the New York Jets or something, man. Like, that's where New York Jets are where quarterbacks go to die, man.
Well,
anyways,
the Browns shed that reputation, temporarily at least. All right.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got on Man United today. I really don't know an actual Fergie time question, but we've got Boxing Day on Thursday and then another game Saturday. So 2 games in really quick succession, and I think Matt and I are going to try and record sometime. It'll have to be sometime after that because we've both got holiday schedule stuff going on. But be sure to check
Thursday?
Out.
Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday's Boxing Day.
Oh, yeah. I'm literally going in. I'm going to be able to watch part of the game, but I go in to my new job at 2. So I'll be able to watch, like, an hour or listen. Well, I'll be able to watch, like, 30 minutes and then listen to it in the car.
Yeah, so we're still figuring out what's going to happen for our next podcast, but... It'll definitely be after those 2 games.
Yeah, so please be patient with us. Sorry we haven't gotten down to it. It's been super crazy because I've basically built an apartment onto my parents' house, and we're moving everywhere and doing everything, and especially my wife's family and mine. Christmas, it's a nightmare. But thank you for being patient, guys.
Yeah, and also be sure to check out the Busby Babe. We've got all decade stuff coming out. We have the all decade starting 11. It came out this weekend. We're gonna do best player of the decade, best game of the decade, and best goal of the decade, I believe. So stay tuned for those. And I also had a piece on Marcus Rashford that came out this week, or this morning actually, so check that out. And I think that's it. So thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow Matt and I on social media, or Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram, but we don't really post Man United stuff.
No, I don't think I've posted anything in like 2 years.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, happy Christmas, happy holidays to everybody. We appreciate you guys listening.
yeah, travel safe, and, you know, we'll see you next time.
Bye.